Mini episode 642 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Revelation Fight Organization. Follow them on the web at facebook.com/RFOMMA. Give them a like.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 642 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our preview of Fargo episode 2.7 titled, Did You Do It? No, You Did It. Here's our top five developments from episode 2.6 heading into this installment. Number five, with gripping battle or potential battle in three different theaters of operation, this season of Fargo is delivering the purest edge-of-your-seat entertainment since Breaking Bad. Remarkably, the only mass violence that was unleashed was at the Fargo compound, where a hailstorm of bullets came chasing the unguarded inhabitants. The eruption here came fast, furious, and unexpected, contrasting the Rio Bravo-style confrontation at the jail that was diffused by the boozy brilliance of Carl Weathers, of all things. But the most taut and gripping of the three scenarios was back at the Blomquist house when first Hank and then Peggy found themselves threatened by Dodd and his goons. This was also the most drawn out in terms of violence, with Hank's dented forehead, Dodd's friendly fire on his operative, and Peggy's ambush of another operative and Dodd unfolding one at a time. It turns out that her hoarder's dungeon in the basement was the perfect place for waging guerrilla warfare to ward off a home invasion, just like she planned it, right? With this installment now three-fifths in the books, the creators have managed the near-impossible feat of ratcheting up the tension and drama every single week, with the last two episodes in particular feeling like they would be very hard to top. 4 weeks are now remaining, and the long-promised massacre in Sioux Falls is looming, potentially even next week. You know that the action is not going to peak too soon, so seeing how the writers make the most of the four remaining episodes is very, very exciting to contemplate at this point. Number four. The Fargo franchise has delivered yet another of its patented elements with a characteristic twist. In the Fargoverse, some dynamics appear in every incarnation. One of the most interesting is the culture clash. The most jarring one in the movie and in season one involved Marge and Gus each having a meeting of the minds with the arch villain of the piece, and the very clear recognition that pure good and evil would never be able to relate to one another, even on an intellectual level. Hank's coffee chat with Peggy was different, but another great example of the befuddlement that can come from radically different points of view. In terms of trying to get a handle on what makes Peggy tick, World War II veteran Hank was blown away by how little he could understand the thinking of a wacky New Age feminist like her. His amusing statement about her being a little touched was actually less interesting than his facial expressions, as he was so clearly struggling to process her perspective. Hank is rooted in the past, albeit one that was still widely present in rural Minnesota in 1979. It's a world of right and wrong, where people did whatever they did for moral and practical reasons. Throughout this season, he and Lou have been struggling with the fear and doubt that their worldview was in decline, and spoiler alert, we know from the future that it was. But the summit with Peggy proved that it's not just encroaching evil that's threatening their way of life, it's the lack of clarity from those in Peggy's confused generation that is helping to transform America into something that Hank recognizes less and less. Number three. Hank's abandonment of Peggy after regaining consciousness is drawing condemnation from many reviewers as a plot hole and a moment unrepresentative of his character. From this corner, we feel that it's too soon to make that judgment. Episodic programs have until the end of the series to resolve such questions. Certainly, if Hank isn't forced to confront the ramifications of the decision, it will be unfortunate, but it's way too soon to make an assumption about the chances of that. For the time being, there are plenty of points to be made in his defense. First of all, while there was vehicular evidence of bad guys still being on the scene, he may well have assumed that while he was knocked unconscious that Peggy had already been disposed of, because the thought of her being the last one standing, while true, was just about impossible to believe. But even without that thought of fatalism, He could be forgiven for impaired judgment, as he later admitted to Lou that he was driving with double vision. Additionally, if Hank's foremost concern in the moment of learning about the crisis at the jail was to get to Lou, he would only be human. His beloved daughter is on borrowed time from cancer, and there's no way that he would let his granddaughter lose both parents if he could help it. Dropping everything to try to help rescue Lou is the instinct that hopefully everyone would have in that moment. Again, granted, Hank needs to address his motivations at some point for appearing to abandon Peggy to the attackers, but the track record of the show so far gives plenty of reason for confidence that he will. Number two, the deployment of Carl Weathers as a vital piece in the resolution of the jail siege demonstrates yet again how masterfully the character chess pieces have been moved on the board. Even minor characters in Fargo have had standout moments to this point, although it will be hard for any of them to top Carl's Stemwinder, the talked-down bear outside the sheriff's complex. In the previous episode, meat shop assistant Noreen's instant connection with Charlie undermined the Gerhardt family hit on Ed, and the subsequent danger that she faced went a long way towards hardening Lou's attitude towards Ed and Peggy. If past is prologue, as it generally is, you've got to figure that Constance is going to play a part in fanning the flames in Sioux Falls, given that Ed will probably now be accompanying Peggy to the seminar, and that Constance has delighted in undermining him previously. Looking even further down the road, with the Gerhardt housekeeper having potentially caught part of Simone's phone conversation with Mike before being thrown out of the room, could she play a role in unearthing the family spy? Number one, the fault lines in the Gerhardt family continue to intensify, leading to firm indications that they'll be critical to the resolution of the story one way or another. Baron Dodd's hostility has now gone to new levels with Charlie's imprisonment. On the assigned tasks from Floyd about killing Ed and springing Charlie, Baron Dodd were 0 for 2. While she's always been glad to rescue Simone from her abusive father, Floyd is beginning to suspect that Simone's youthful rebellion may be injurious to the family. And the reality of Simone's secret indiscretions came home to roost yet again with the attack that next week's preview reveal spared Simone and Floyd but killed Otto. Amidst the grief that will come with burying the patriarch and rallying from the setbacks in Laverne will come questions about how Mike knew that the compound was so vulnerable that night. The tip of the spear for Kansas City in this mob war is much smaller, but it's completely unified, whereas the Gerhardts are anything but. So right now you've got those two sides, the Blomquists and the Law, as the four elements remaining in this combustible stew. With four episodes left and everyone so far having been better than the one before it, the last month of Fargo Season 2 could be some of the best television in history. We wait with bated breath. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.